Do you think it might be possible to turn that music down so maybe a couple of the boys could talk?
That music is for everyone, Mr. McMurphy.
Yeah, I know, but you think we might ease it down a little bit so maybe the boys didn't have to shout? Huh?
What you probably don't realize is that we have a lot of old men on this ward who couldn't hear the music if we turned it lower. That music is all they have. Your hand is staining my window.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Hey everyone, welcome back to Next Door Villain. We are so excited for you to be here today, or this evening, or this morning, or whenever you're listening. My name is Tiana.
And I'm, of course, Joe.
Yeah.
The other person who is in this podcast, doing this podcast, whatever.
And we are here to talk about a villain that you may have recently learned about, or you may have known about this villain since...
Yeah, because she's been around for a while. And in fact, she is, according to the American Film Institute's list of greatest villains in film, she is the number 5 greatest villain.
Yeah. Your mom might know about her.
My mom?
Yeah. Because, or my mom too. Because
any mom. You're not mom, singling me out. Okay.
Any mom who was born before 1975.
So dads too.
So dads too. But mostly like, moms. No.
People in general.
Yeah.
Older folks in general. Middle-aged folks.
Yeah, we'll know about her.
Yeah. And younger folks, because she's iconic.
That too. But yeah, you might know about her because of the Netflix series.
Yes. We are, of course, talking about Nurse Ratched of the novel One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And then the film that followed, starring Jack Nicholson and Louise Fletcher as Nurse Ratched. There's been play adaptations of it. And then more recently, a new Netflix show called Ratched by Ryan Murphy, which provides a backstory for the character. Now, I have to confess that I wanted to do this episode as soon as I saw the trailer for the Netflix show Ratched, because it looked so cool. I mean, it's very visually striking. Sarah Paulson plays Nurse Ratched, and she's
gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. Super cool. Definitely one of my favorite actresses. But I have to confess that I could not get through more than a few episodes of the show. I just didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
And it's very gory and violent. And I feel really bad because, Tiana, you watched the whole, almost the entire show.
I know.
And I only made it through a couple episodes.
I just feel like it was one of those things where the producers were like, what crazy shit can we put into a cauldron or into a pot and just stir it up and then make it happen? I mean, it caught my attention, I think, in the first few episodes. I was more interested in it. But then later on, it just kind of veers off into all of these very random things that just keep happening. And I'm not quite sure why they keep happening, but that it's just very American Horror Story-esque without much justification.
Right. Because it's Ryan Murphy who did American Horror Story. And so if you've seen American Horror Story, it's, you know, kind of along the same lines in a lot of ways, visually and storyline. They throw a lot of stuff at you very quickly. Didn't spend a whole lot of time developing a sympathetic character over time.
Right.
And so Tiana and I made an executive decision that the show Ratched, though interesting and maybe enjoyable for some people, we are not considering canon for the character of Nurse Ratched.
I would say that a lot of my thoughts for this episode are coming from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the movie, for sure. But I think
Well, I think the movie is where most people probably know Nurse Ratched from. Though, I mean, many people have read the book. It's a phenomenal book. I remember reading it when I was, I think, in high school. But it's been a controversial book. It's one of those books that has been banned at various points by various schools because of the content. So I don't know. It's
yeah. for those who are listening who are Ratched fans, who like saw the show on Netflix and were just like, oh, I love this shit, or I love it when people get randomly killed and I'm not quite sure why. First of all, good for you. But second of all, I think we still can use Ratched, the series, a little bit throughout the episode. Like, I feel like a really big thing to know is that Nurse Ratched is manipulative in Ratched, because she wants to save her brother, who is on death row because he killed a bunch of priests. And she basically believes that she's helping people through strange stuff. Yeah,
I think is kind of at the core of what we're maybe going to talk about as far as empathizing with her. But before we do that, we got to do our 30-second intro where we try to explain every basic thing about the character in 30 seconds without any preparation, and it's kind of a mess, but we got to do it because it's part of the structure of our show.
Yes, it was Joe's idea. Which is a good idea.
I consistently regret it.
Really?
Well, I like just it. Just because I do so bad.
Oh, that's what makes it entertaining, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you're up first. Three, okay. Two, one, go.
Okay, so Nurse Ratched is a really stern-looking woman with some kind of hairstyle that kind of looks like horns. And she's a nurse, and she runs a ward, and she's kind of manipulative. She's not very good at group therapy sessions, and she kind of tells people that they need to have a certain schedule in order to control the ward and make sure that the patients in the psychiatric ward do not kind of get into chaos or become chaotic. And she does it in a very like calm and sexy, no, not actually sexy, cool voice. And yeah. Oh, did you just go five? And
I
you should not do that.
Must confess.
Yeah.
That I forgot entirely to time that. So who knows how long you just rambled for.
Okay, I could kind of feel that was about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think you were in a good rhythm. Great, okay. But you, well, I guess you can decide whether or not you want to time me now. Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right, Nurse Ratched is a nurse on a psych ward that she kind of rules and controls over, and she doesn't really like to express her emotions or feelings. She likes to hide them away and appear very robotic to her patients, and so that she has control over them. And she kind of like wears oversized clothing to hide her, you know, feminine body, because she just wants to appear kind of like a blank slate, so that no one really knows what she's thinking or feeling. And it's a way that she is able to exert control over people in the psych ward. And she loves controlling people and having control. And she really struggles when she loses that control. It seems like it really kind of makes her cycle into a difficult emotional state. And I feel like 30 seconds might have been up a long time ago. So I'm going to stop talking.
Okay. That was 1 minute and 4 seconds.
Wow. I'm actually kind of impressed with myself that I actually was able to talk that long.
Yeah. Just keep going, man. Keep going. Yeah.
So Nurse Ratched, this was a really tough one for me to prepare for because in my memory, she was a very iconic villain that I kind of remember from the novel and I remember from watching the film years ago. And then I went and revisited the film, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I was like, is she really that bad? Because there are a lot of points in the film where she just seems kind of like a competent nurse. But that's really only at face value, because then when you sit down and start to think about it and really examine her actions and what she's doing, it becomes very clear that the things she's doing are incredibly problematic. And just because they aren't really physically violent or overtly violent, her manipulation and the way that she controls patients is incredibly abusive on a psychological level. And I think that's what makes her so scary.
She's so scary because when I first watched the movie, except for one particular scene, I was like, she's not villainous. Like, she's so scary because she manipulated me. Me.
Mm-hmm.
Poor old Tiana. And I actually had to look online and have other people tell me how she was villainous in order for me to see it. Except for one scene. But, and then I had to think about it more, and then I was like, okay, yeah, I can see this. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine that I was watching the movie with, we were both a little bit like, she's just maintaining control. Like, she's just trying to keep everyone calm and on a schedule mm-hmm. and make sure that they take their meds, you know?
Yeah, which is a tough job for sure in a psych ward. And I think, I mean, that's one of the ways that we can easily relate to her is that she's in a difficult position and maintaining control in this situation in a psych ward is not easy to do. And she is managing to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think the real problems come when we start to look closer at some of the things she's doing. So one of the things that happens throughout the book and the movie is these group sessions where she sits down with some of the more mentally stable, I guess, patients and chats with them about their issues. And it's supposed to be like a group therapy session. And she asks them about their problems. But when you start to think about it, what she's really doing is kind of shaming them. She's getting them to talk in front of all these other people about their most embarrassing, shameful experiences in a way that makes them feel more shame. It's almost as if her approach is like, if you have a bad experience, you should just be so ashamed of it that you hide it away and then no one can see it and then you can't see it and then you don't have to experience anymore because it's hidden mm-hmm. away.
And then if you hide your shame, then you can become like a more competent person in society.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I mean, to some degree, yes, in the short term, that might work. But I think most people know nowadays that over the long term, bottling things up usually has a bad end result.
Yeah.
And in this film, the one person, Billy Bibbitz, is that his name?
Yeah.
Has a lot of shame and she's constantly pushing him to try to hide the feelings that he's experiences. And then that ultimately ends at the end of the movie with, you know, one of the worst things that happens is he ends up getting pushed to commit suicide. So,
and I want to talk more about that scene later too.
Yes, yeah. We will. And I won't get into it now because I'm trying to make a different point.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been babbling about how terrible she is, but this is also a way that I feel like was an in for me to empathize with her because I feel like if she thinks that hiding your emotions and pushing them away is a way to get through difficult times, I have to wonder if that's because she had that experience herself, that she went through something painful and traumatic and her way of dealing with it was hiding it away and then putting up this like cold, unemotional front where she doesn't let those things in the past affect her. And whether it be right or wrong, she feels like potentially that it works for her. So maybe it can work for these other people.
Yeah. And this, I think, is where the TV show Ratched might actually help us a little bit mm-hmm. because we learn from Ratched that she used to be a World War II nurse and then she would need to conduct euthanasia on soldiers who were in a lot of pain and who were suffering. And I feel like that would be really traumatic to be a war nurse and then have these people come in and be like, I'm in so much pain that you really need to kill me right now, and then kill them. Mm. So even though we hate the series, maybe that also contributed, that can help us tell us why she might be a proponent of someone who bottles up her emotions. Yeah.
Well, I think the World War II backstory, though it's not detailed in the novel, mm-hmm. I believe it is mentioned that she was a war nurse beforehand. Yeah. But I think you're right about, you know, we can't, even though we didn't like the show, it still does show us these traumatic things happening in her backstory. Whether or not we believe they're canon or not, it's still, I think, important to consider that she perhaps has had traumatic events in her past that she has had to deal with. And now she's applying the same process of dealing to her patients. Unfortunately, it's just not a very good one.
Yeah, it's tough too. Because I remember watching the scene of the group therapy sessions and all of the people in the session, they didn't want to start talking about their problems or they were really shy about it. But then you realize that maybe a big reason why they were shy about it is because they knew that she was going to take what they were vulnerable about and use it against them in order to control them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, scary.
I think we can argue that she perhaps thought that what she was doing was helpful.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I think you can argue that in a very misguided way, she was possibly trying to do good.
As a nurse who runs this whole psych ward, I feel like you would have a lot of pressure to keep things really in order and to make sure that things don't go awry. When I was watching the movie, I noticed how she would try to give justification for a certain schedule or try to give justification for why the music was loud and why she can't turn it down, and that it was for the benefit of the people and in order to maintain order. And when you're kind of overseeing all of these different people with varying degrees of mental stability, you have to be really careful and you have to be really intentional about every decision that you make. You really need to decide what the schedule is going to be, and you need to make sure that they follow that to a T in order for things to not go awry. Because when things go awry, people start yelling and they get dragged through the hallway, and but then at the same time, you could also argue that she was responsible for that because they were scared about getting ECT. It's all very complicated, but I just think she was really trying really hard to make sure that people don't start yelling and just creating chaos in the middle of the ward.
Yeah, it's a complicated line to try to dance. And I can definitely relate to that as like someone who manages employees. I think it's kind of a similar situation where on the one hand, you can be very controlling and exert a lot of power over the people that are working for you. And they may react in the way that you need them to or want them to, but then their kind of morale is going to be pretty low, and they're not going to like you very much, and they're going to not like their job very much. On the other hand, if you're too easygoing and don't put enough rules in place, your employees will sometimes like take advantage of that, or they won't get the work done in the most efficient or the safest way, or, you know, whatever metrics you're trying to use. So you have to kind of balance somewhere in the middle. And I think in this case, obviously these aren't her employees, but they're still people that she's, you know, trying to get to do certain things. She has gone on the extreme side of control, which I think is the easier route than trying to balance those two extremes in the middle to try to create the best, like, safest scenario for everyone involved. So I guess, yeah, I kind of empathize with her because I know that's difficult to do. I understand the pull to just want to control everything to make sure that everything's going smoothly.
And to do it in the ways that you know how to do it, because she does it in more of a bureaucratic way. Well, that's just the policy. You need to take your meds. That's the policy.
Yeah.
That policy is in place to then help the patients. And she does it with such a power of her voice. And I have totally done that. I feel like when you're talking to a small child, there's another problem where she sounds condescending to like people who are adults, but she's trying to be gentle, I guess, to kind of calm them down and to be able to tell them why a certain thing is the way it is and to make sure that they do what they need to do. It's kind of like when you talk to a child and you don't want them to, draw on the walls. So you just kind of tell them very quietly and very patiently why you can't draw on the walls. And you give them kind of a BS answer so that they don't cry.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes to be the reason, like why someone has to do something. Like I struggle with that as a manager all the time. It's hard for me to be like, I need you to do this because I want it done. It's so much easier to be like, I need you to do this because that is the policy at our workplace.
Right.
It can be kind of vulnerable to have to admit that you want things a particular way. And maybe that's something Nurse Ratched struggles with. I don't know. But it's a possibility. She does fall back on all the time, like you said, the policy of the hospital or like the other patients need to hear this music, or they like the music at this volume, or, you know, whatever reason. She's constantly putting that on someone else. So it does make you wonder, it makes me wonder at least, that whether or not she just might not feel comfortable taking that on herself.
Of course, because if she said, well, you need to do this because I say so, then the patients are just going to be ticked at her and angry. I mean, and
they are already
but even more so, I guess.
Yeah.
So about that control, when I was watching the movie, I actually really disliked Jack Nicholson's character.
Yeah.
I thought he was being just really McMurphy. Immature and just being a weirdo.
Well, he was. I mean, he was like, he's supposed to be the hero of the story, but let's not forget that he is pretending to have a mental disorder so that he can spend time in the psych ward instead of the prison.
Right. Yeah. So, like, sometimes you gotta think, well, I mean, she's a little bit condescending, but at the same time, she's kind of talking to a guy who is also not that great.
Who's intentionally, like, trying to rile things up.
Yeah, yeah. I would hate it. I would be pissed beyond belief if I were a nurse in a psych ward and I got in the next morning and everything was trashed and people had been drinking and sleeping with random women. Total chaos. You know, like, you're a state agency. Like, you need to report to the state. You can't have your ward go into chaos. You could lose your job. You're also a woman who needs to maintain order in 19 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, maybe 70s, 60s.
I think probably 60s.
Yeah, in the 1960s, which is already hard enough. So you have to kind of have this like calm facade of niceness when you're not actually nice. I don't know. It's complicated. But I would be ticked. And I feel like she tries really hard to maintain that control and ensuring that everyone has a schedule, ensuring that they don't do something that's crazy or in placing policies that she thinks will help them with their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have this guy just come in and ruin it all is a huge blow. And it can kind of feel like you're being attacked. And so then you attack back and you do it in the way that you know how to. You try really hard to make things go a certain way. And then someone just comes in and ruins it all. Just like one person. It's kind of like you're in a party and spent a lot of time putting up streamers and, I don't know, buying all of the goodies and the balloons. Mm-hmm. And you made a schedule for when you're going to do charades. And then this person just barges in, eats all of your food. They talk to every single person, even though no one wants to hear from them. Or I don't know. Or maybe they do. I don't know. And then they tear everything down, trash the place,
yeah,
throw up, and then walk out. Like, how would you feel?
Yeah. There's a certain comfort to order and control that is just makes things a lot easier. And chaos is difficult for probably most people to navigate. Some people thrive in chaos, but it's not natural, I think, for most people these days. And you mentioned that scene at the end of the movie where they have this big party at night where McMurphy sneaks in some friends and some alcohol and basically gets everyone drunk. And I don't know, do you think this is a nice time to really delve into that terrible ending scene?
Yeah.
Or ending moments, I guess.
So McMurphy, or Jack Nicholson's character, invites some women into the psych ward, sneaks them in, sneak in alcohol. The patients kind of have a party. And Billy, who in the past we've learned, he asked a woman to marry him. And we learned this in a group therapy session earlier on. And I believe that rejection kind of led him, content warning suicide, kind of led him to attempting suicide. And so he kind of has this, I don't know, complicated thing that he has with women.
I think we don't know the details, but right. This particular incident with this woman was really traumatic for him, and just kind of he kind of broke down because of it and hasn't really ever recovered.
Yeah, and we can tell that he gets kind of infatuated with women easily. And so when McMurphy brings these women into the ward, he kind of talks to McMurphy like, oh, she's really pretty. I think it was Candy or something. And so he allowed Billy to have sex with Candy.
Mm-hmm.
And Nurse Ratched the next day finds him with the girl. And she gets furious. She doesn't really show her fury in the way that you might expect. But she does something that's really villainous. She first asks Billy a few questions, I think related to why he did it and who told him to do it. But she says, oh, it's going to be a shame when I tell your mother about this. And she knows exactly where to poke Billy. She knows exactly what makes him vulnerable, and it's telling his mother about things.
Yeah. It goes back to like what we were talking about earlier, that she's not so much helping them through their problems as like increasing their shame and then forcing them to shove it away somewhere.
Yeah. And she basically keeps showing Billy that sex equates to bad, and then makes him feel shame for having sex or having that desire. And then it gets really tough because first he freaks out that she's going to tell his mother. And then later he dies by suicide. And right after that, Nurse Ratched, when people find out that Billy is dead, Nurse Ratched is like, well, I guess all we can do is move forward or continue on. Like, she wants to, like, maintain order even after someone has died in the ward. And Jack Nicholson's character starts to choke her. A fact that I haven't really been able to fact check too well, but I kind of learned it, that at that scene, audiences would clap or stand up and clap when Jack Nicholson would choke her because they would get so mad at her for
that. I read the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it is true. She made Billy feel so much shame and she already knew that he was so vulnerable. And she did that. So then I was like, wow, this is really bad. How can I see her her perspective in this?
Yeah, this was a hard moment to get past.
Yeah, it's bad. It is really bad. And honestly, I'm not giving her an excuse. I'm not really like agreeing that what she did was good. But if I put myself in her shoes, I can assume first that what happened that night before was awful for her. As a nurse, she cannot let that happen again. And when all the patients in the ward realize how fun it is, how awesome it is to live and drink and be with women, she needs to make sure that it's not fun. She needs to make sure that she scars them from doing it again. So shaming Billy was the way to try and make sure that that doesn't happen. Because generally speaking, what they did was not good. They're not allowed to do that. Like, they're not allowed to bring in women and drink in the psych ward. It's a psych ward. Like, come on. It could have put other people in danger. Someone else could have died. Someone could have gotten drunk and beat someone else with a beer can. Yeah. I don't know. Like, whatever people do. And then I thought, she also knows that he's vulnerable with women. And so I also wonder if she thinks that shaming him also ensures that he doesn't make himself vulnerable to women, because there was a very high chance that he was going to get attached to that girl, I think. Uh-huh. Sure, like, he was so happy that morning, right? But he'll probably think about her for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he won't be able to, quote unquote, get better because he's so attached. Maybe she knew that. Maybe she knew that he could not get attached and that he needed to feel shame about it so that he wouldn't, so that he can, quote unquote, get better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she really thought what she was doing would help him.
Yeah. And she did ask one of the other nurses to stay with him.
That's right. She still wanted to prevent a suicide.
It does show that she kind of understood the fragile mental state he was in. Unfortunately, really, this whole scene, really the best reading of it that we can give her is that she was upset, rightly so, and trying to do the right thing to get things back in order, and it just went horribly wrong. Of course, then she does another pretty inexcusable thing, which is lobotomize McMurphy. And it's not ever, I don't think it's stated explicitly that she is the one who decides to do that, but I think we can safely surmise that that was her idea, and I'm having trouble seeing a way around this. I think maybe we just have to admit that this is a terrible thing. McMurphy obviously was a big agitator for her and did a lot of terrible things, but she seems to have been aware that he was not actually mentally ill, and yet she sent him to have that operation anyway just to deal with him. The best thing I can say for her about that is that it may have been the accepted evidence or accepted medicine of the time, and not necessarily her intentionally doing the worst, like not intentionally trying to harm it. Like, she may have really thought that she was doing a procedure that was helpful, because I think a lot of people at that time did think that that was good, even though it's a terrible thing to do.
Is lobotomize the same thing as electric shock therapy?
No. And I think, I mean, don't quote me on this, but because I don't know the specifics of it, but there is like electro something or other that they can use to treat serious depression, which I have heard is very, very effective for people who like drugs don't work on. And I've, you know, heard some stories about people who have gone through that, and it's been very, very helpful for them. It's different than the electroshock that Nurse Ratched was doing way back then. Today it's a different thing, and I wish I had more specific information on it.
Mm-hmm.
So go do your research instead of just listening to what I've had to say here.
Yeah.
But no, lobotomy is when they do something with like the frontal part of your brain to like, I don't really know the details, but it's what in the show Ratched, you get to see a lobotomy done a couple of different ways, one with a drill and one with an ice pick through the eye socket. That's the kind of stuff that you'll get to see if you decide to watch Ratched on Netflix.
Yeah, get it.
The last kind of thing that I wanted to bring up, which is kind of a thing that we say just about every episode, I feel like, but it is maybe especially true here. The novel, specifically One Flew Over Cuckoo's Nest, is told from the perspective of one of the patients, Chief. So I think the fact that he is in a mental institute and whether or not he needs to be there is I think questionable as well as a Native American. A lot of questionable things about mental institutes at this time period. But considering that he is there for a legitimate psychiatric reason, there would be reason to question whether or not the narrator in this case is a reliable source of information for the nurse that he sees as the villain. And perhaps there is some villainy added on to her story because he doesn't like her because he puts her in a position that doesn't want to be in versus her actually being a terrible nurse. I don't know. Just yeah. Something to think about, that perspective and story matters.
Yeah, mental illness or not, the perspective is still questionable.
Yeah, we filter through the lens of our own experience when we tell stories. So just something to think about.
Yeah, the only other point too, when I was watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I was so captivated by her voice. I think because there have been so many times, I think, like as someone who might work in customer service or something, who has to drop their voice to a very low volume or to a kind of mix of low and cheery type of tone when talking to customers in order to keep people satisfied. It's like this, yeah, I can do that for you. No, that's actually not available. That expired before. Do you want that? I don't know. You can have this. I'm so fascinated by how people need to use tone in order to maintain control and in order to even just do their jobs. And if you've ever noticed, you can try this out. If you're arguing with someone and if you start to go quiet in your voice or just kind of like a calming tone, they'll start to kind of meet you there and then the argument might go better.
There's a quotation that I pulled out of the novel that I think illustrates this really well, where it says, "I've watched her get more skillful over the years. Practice has steadied and strengthened her until now she wields a sure power that extends in all directions." I think of that as her, rather than letting her emotions take her over and yelling or being overly expressive, she's kind of pulled all that in and she's directing all of that power through her very calm, very quiet way of talking, that she's able to put a ton of power, perhaps even more power than she would have yelling, into a quiet, steady voice.
Mm-hmm. It's like impressive control of her own. So maybe that's why she thinks control is so important and order is so important, because it's working for her to be so controlled.
Yeah. And perhaps it was not working for her to be out of control at some other point in her life. I can understand that.
Right. Okay. Okay. Question time?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I'm really excited for this question. It's just mostly for entertainment purposes, but I think it still relates to Nurse Ratched.
Mm-hmm.
She does a lot of like trickery and manipulation. What is the best or worst or weirdest or whatever trick someone has ever pulled on you?
Hmm. Okay. I kind of misread this question a little bit.
Or you can interpret it how you want.
We were preparing for this episode. So I'm glad you asked me first, because I'm going to talk about something more serious, and then I hope you have a more fun answer.
Oh, yeah, I do. It's okay.
Afterwards. But I was thinking about the kind of manipulation part, and I was in a relationship like fairly recently where I felt like the other person was manipulating me, but not intentionally, which I think very much relates to Nurse Ratched in the way that we empathize with her. I know she was intentionally manipulating, but I think she had the best of intentions. And looking back on this relationship, I think the person that I was with, she really wanted the relationship to work, and she had good intentions to make the relationship work. But in the process, she was kind of being the person that she needed to be for me to like her. And so kind of manipulating me into thinking that she was a little bit different than she actually was.
So it's like watching the shows that you like in order to seduce you? Or maybe...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I used to do that with football teams. Anywho.
But yeah, so like a lot of that kind of... I mean, that's kind of a silly example of it. But that kind of stuff where I think she was doing things, and not even necessarily intentionally... Mm-hmm. That she knew that I liked, so that it would keep the relationship going, rather than doing things that I think she really cared about, or standing up for the things that she really wanted. And so it just ultimately, when that stuff kind of came to light, then I, you know, realized that it wasn't a good situation. And I mm-hmm. wish that she had really stood up for the things that she wanted, so that I could have gotten to know her actually as herself. Rather than the person who was trying to make this relationship work.
Right. That's really fascinating. I am kind of curious how you found out that she was doing that, but you don't need to go there.
Yeah. I'll tell you after the recording, perhaps.
Secrets. Okay.
Yeah, your answer now.
All right. So I used to work at this company called Goldmark Property Management. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, I think you may have heard of that. You may have worked there, right?
We both worked there for a period of our life.
Joe gave me a job there.
I didn't give you a job.
You referred me.
Yes.
And then I was thinking about that. I was like, Joe is like my employer. That's so cool.
Yeah, I wasn't. But I did get a sizable referral bonus.
Nice. Okay, yeah. I worked at this management company. My manager and my coworker, we were kind of all in the same like office area, and our offices weren't really closed off, so we can always hear everything everyone's doing. It's kind of like a big room of desks. Not a big room, actually, a smallish room. Apparently, they devised this plan to where my manager was going to pretend to fire my coworker. And it was just like a normal Wednesday or something. And I was like on my computer pretending to write emails. And then I heard my manager call in my coworker. And she was just like, okay, sit down. I really need to talk to you. You have not been performing as well. You're on your phone a lot. I've talked to you about this multiple times. And so she was like, I'm afraid that this is not the opportunity for you anymore. You need to go. And I was like, my face, like I was just looking at my computer, like pretending not to listen because it was so awkward for me. And I was just like, I'm scared. And I thought my coworker was going to like get in an argument with my manager or something. But this went on. This whole trick was probably like 30 minutes. It was a long time of just like sitting there and then like them talking about getting fired. And then I think it ended with my coworker leaving the office in a dramatic way. And then them just walking back and being like, ha ha. And that was it. But it was so sad too, because I didn't want my coworker to go. I liked my coworker.
That's a terrible joke.
It was amazing though. I remember it to this day, you know, because it was just so thought out and just so strange.
In the office when Michael fake fires Pam and she like starts crying. Oh, in his
yes. Thankfully my coworker was in on it. So it wasn't like that exactly. But yeah. But then I got really scared while it was going on. Like, am I next? Like, do I really need to be really careful? And
Wait. They both knew that it was a fake firing for you to overhear.
Yes, it was for me to overhear, and they were taking bets on how I would react.
That's pretty funny, actually.
And my manager was like, I knew you were going to react the way that you did. But it was such an interesting social experiment, because if I liked my coworker so much, why didn't I go in there and vouch for him? Mm-hmm. Why didn't I? But I was freaked out. I think I was scared. I really thought it was serious, and so I shouldn't meddle with it, even though they were doing it right in front of me.
Yeah. Oof. The point here is manipulation is not necessarily always positive.
Right. But so. You can see how people act. So maybe give it a shot. Yeah. No, just kidding.
Anyways, oh boy, what an interesting direction this episode has gone. Tiana, before the
episode...
You don't
like the chaos? Does it make like you feel chaos. Uncomfortable?
I love order. So I guess that's how I empathize with Nurse Ratched. But before the episode, you were telling me that you have put together a piece, a work of literary genius. Is that what you said?
No, I have a literary thing. I have a thing.
Okay.
So you know how, like, especially if you know me in real life, I seem high, but I'm not.
Yes, actually.
So this is kind of a manifestation of that.
Cool. Yeah, I've actually gotten that same comment as well.
Oh my God.
In fact, once while I was working at that management company that we both worked at, someone left us a review online that mentioned me and how I was high while I was giving a tour, which was absolutely not true because I don't smoke.
Me either. But everyone's just like, why are you high? Anywho.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got for us?
This is just trippy, I guess is what I should say. So get your trippy pants on. You got them on?
I got them on.
Okay. Dear Nurse Ratched, from your favorite patient. A letter. You wear a white, pristine nurse's outfit, and the patients think of the white you wear as a light to guide them to a home. You used to tell me, you shouldn't kiss strangers in the strobe lights in the middle of concerts. It only leads to the death of want when you have everything. And it sounded like you'd been there before, unafraid, ready to keep the temptation without acting on it. You guided the flashing strobe light colors to your step, took them into your palms, and turned them into a white, pale hunter I see before me. You always knew you were qualified to rid the passions the patients left behind before they entered the ward, so that they could go back into the world with a passion for the world itself instead. With control in their palms, no one had let them hold before. I like to think that maybe, when you were young, you went with your father on a hike where you overlooked the vast rivers, the trees, the green blankets above, and he must have told you that to conquer nature, you must conquer yourself. To conquer the cities, everyone must conquer themselves. And so here you are, helping us conquer our thoughts, so that perhaps you can step out onto the sidewalk and know that everyone you pass is living dreams they don't worry about, living lives they aren't afraid of. You smell the bread in the air and they are baking. They are sweeping the steps. They are tending the flowers and going into the office. They are all in harmony. They are controlling and they are contributing to another day that you live in. But it takes work and a discipline that we all must face. And it takes tears, and it takes saying no so that you can have something greater at a later time. And it takes breath, and it takes tightening their lungs when they see your eyes, the eyes of someone who will break them in order to make them into something more than even what their mothers thought they could become. And it takes an electric love only you can give. Nothing balanced, especially in our dangerous minds, has ever come easy. When people become like you, Nurse Ratched, they understand the world. They understand that life is a cultivation, not a funhouse that you live and die in until your mother cries. Not a place to satisfy desire that is better left alone. So tell me no when you feel like it, and tell me yes whenever you want. I already know you're just like us, trapped in a place you don't want to be in, but ready to help to see a better day. The end.
Oof-da.
Oof-da. I didn't know you were a Midwestern.
Yeah. Wow. I like that a lot, and I don't know that you build it appropriately. I thought we were going into something goofy, and it was very serious.
Yeah, hit you with the serious shit instead of the goofy.
Well, that was a lot to take in there. And, well, let's, I guess, end the episode. Thank you for listening to Next Door Villain. If you haven't already, please subscribe, tell your friends about the show, rate us and review us, do all those good things. All right, this episode was written, produced, and all that good stuff by us, Joe Anderson and Tiana Hennings.
Rate us, find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and on anchor.fm/nextdoorvillain, which is probably where you found us in the first place. So.
All right, thanks for listening.